morning. Wonderful, wonderful. Let's take our hymnals and turn to 298. Could we all stand if we're able to and turn to 298? 298, there is power in the blood. Let's all stand if we're able to and sing all four verses of 298.
Night of rest. Great to see you today, and a beautiful day the Lord has given to us. You're excited about being in church, amen?
Amen.
Excited today?
Amen.
Excited today? Okay. Oh, you already said amen. You're good. All right. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Lord's Day you've given to us. We're grateful for what it means and the fact that Jesus lives, and I pray that the resurrected Christ by his Spirit would walk amongst us today, encouraging us, challenging us, in blessing us, and I just pray, Father, that you would be honored by all that transpires this hour. I do pray, Father, this morning for a couple of our missionary families. We pray for Mrs. Johnson, Sarah Johnson, there in Japan, and I pray that God would give her this week a great birthday, and thank you so much. She served so faithfully alongside of her husband there in that needy country. And Father, we pray for Jonathan and Rachel of Ascenda as they labor in South Korea. God, they too are faithful to Christ and they love you and are serving you so faithfully. Bless their home, bless their marriage, and give them a great anniversary. And Father, we'd also like to intercede on behalf of Brother Rick Stevenson this morning as his dear wife and our dear friend Doris went to heaven this last week. And we ask God that you'd give strength to Brother Rick, give him comfort. I pray, Father, that you would bless the services this week. And God, I pray that folks would be saved as a result of Doris's sweet testimony for the Lord Jesus. God, help us as your people here that remain to keep running the race and keep our lives faithful to Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you.
Amen. 295 is our next song. 295. Before we sing this, I have just a quick announcement, making sure that the person's here and he's not. Which is kind of sad, you know, obviously we want them, but at least I can say it now because it's a surprise birthday party. So Who all knows of Glenn that normally sits in the corner back there? Glenn sits with Lori Krause. And so Lori is setting up something for April the 30th. I know this is live stream, but I don't think he watches that. So I think I'm okay. But April the 30th, after the morning service, Lori Krause would like to set up a lunch for him, a surprise birthday party. She is getting the majority, if not all of it, but the majority of food. But what she really needs is how many people would like to join in celebrating Glenn, encouraging him. I know if you talk to Glenn, he definitely needs to be encouraged a lot. He's going through a lot right now. But I'm not going to have a show of hands right now, but if anybody would like to or is thinking, oh, you know what, I can totally make that, please let me know after service as soon as possible. And also, if you would like to have like a small dish, that's you're more than welcome to. You don't have to. But if you'd like to have a dish to bring for the birthday party, that's you're more than welcome to. But if you would like to, if you're able to, please let me know after service or as soon as possible. All right, 200, and this is also a surprise, so if you see him next week, don't be like, hey, you ready for your birthday party? Please don't do that. 295, what we're going to do with this song is we're going to sing all three verses of 295, and the ladies and the gentlemen and ladies, are going to transition into 293. So keep that extra page, or keep your finger in 293. So we're going to sing Calvary Covers It All. We're going to sing all three verses of Calvary Covers It All. And at the end of that song, Calvary Covers It All, 295, they're going to transition right into 293. So we're not going to stop. We're just going to go right into 293. Just watch me as we transition to sing 293. So 295, we'll start with Calvary Covers It All. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, ladies. Appreciate that song. Down at the cross where my Savior died. Amen. Take your Bibles, please. Turn with me to the Gospel according to St. Matthew. Matthew chapter 27, please. Matthew chapter 27. And while you're turning there, let me again remind you of the viewing times for Doris's preparing for Doris's funeral on Wednesday, but there are viewing times this Tuesday from 2 to 4 and 6 to 8. This is at the Evans Funeral Home right up here in Forest Hill. And then the funeral service is on Wednesday at 10 o'clock there also at the funeral home. And so please be in prayer for Brother Rick and the family. And Rick and Doris have been in the church here about 11 years it is, 11 years or so, and they certainly have become a vital part of our church family, and we want to show our love and our support to them during this time. Also, if you looked at the bulletin this morning, this coming Saturday, we're meeting here at the church at 9:45 to distribute the postcards that you found on your seat here this morning. And so we have a good number of these left to hand out. So we gave you at least one. Yeah. How many think you can give away at least one postcard between now and Sunday? You don't have to raise your hand, but I truly think you can do that, all right? But if you'd like to help out on Saturday, we'd like to know if you're planning to come. Because we want to be able to prepare for that distribution of those cards and invite folks to be with us next Sunday, Easter Sunday. And so let's get out the word. I mentioned here Wednesday night that one of our missionaries, Brother Henry Ward in Japan, he's having an effort where he has produced and is planning to hand out 12,000 invitations to their upcoming services. And Japan's a tough place to serve. And it's a tough place to serve. And so let's pray that God will bless our efforts as well here in getting folks to the house of the Lord on Sunday. Matthew chapter 27. And before I look at the passage there, I would like to read to you from Luke's Gospel and chapter 23 and verse 32, where the Bible says concerning Christ and his crucifixion, "And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left." And then in Matthew chapter 27, I'd like to read verse 33. Verse 33, the Bible says, "And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull." Lord, would you bless your word to our hearts this morning? Thank you, God, for the great song service today as we focus upon the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, Father, that there was a time for most, if not all of us here today, that we came to that place where we went down to Calvary, went down to the cross where our Savior died. And we trusted and believed in him for eternal life and eternal salvation. And God, we praise you for that moment of time for us when we saw what the cross meant. And Father, I pray for those that might be here or those that might be viewing that have yet to come by faith to the Son of God through the cross. And I pray, O Lord, that you'd speak to hearts today. And for those of us that have been to the cross, that have had our sin washed away and cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, that you would, God, remind us anew today how precious the cross is, and God, it would stir us. And even as we sang this morning, this sacrifice that you presented for us demands our life and our soul and our all. And I pray, dear God, that there would be decisions made for Jesus today to love you more because you first loved us. I pray now you bless in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. When we think this morning about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, I think all of us would concur that it is the focal point of our faith. It is our refuge because we've come to the cross. It's our refuge from a final judgment. It's our hope. One of the things I've been praying here of late is, God, thank you for the strength that you can give me today and bright hope for tomorrow, as the song says. I need strength for the day and I need a hope for tomorrow. And the cross provides that for us. But when you look at the cross of Christ, there is a mystery about it as well. It is difficult for human minds to fully comprehend that the Son of God, the spotless Son of God, suffered at the hands of a corrupt Roman and Jewish judicial system. And yet we find him accomplishing the Father's will. It was the Father's will that Jesus Christ go to the cross. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 23, it says that Christ was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. So there's a mystery behind the cross. And there is the spotless Savior hanging on a tree, crucified as a common criminal and crucified with criminals. And yet he was the pure incarnate Son of God. And on this day, this is Palm Sunday. This is the beginning of what is commonly known as the Passion Week, beginning with Christ's triumphant entry into Jerusalem, where they hailed him as King of Kings. And several days later, they crucified him. It was his passion. It was his suffering on the cross. And then, of course, then that Passion Week concludes with the glorious resurrection. Because Jesus lives, the Bible says, we shall live also. And so it's a wonderful time of year to be reminded of the great love of Christ and our responsibility, of course, to believe in him, to follow him, to become his disciples indeed, and to keep growing in our love and an affection for him. But we read from Luke chapter 23 and here in Matthew chapter 27 about the place of this great and horrendous activity that took place called the crucifixion. In Luke, it speaks of the place being called Calvary. It's Calvary. And here in Matthew chapter 27, it's a place called Golgotha. This is the place where Jesus Christ died. And prior to his being crucified at that place of Calvary, we find that these Roman soldiers that took him to that place were very much barbaric in their treatment of the Son of God. In the previous verses in Matthew 27, in verse 26, it says that Pilate released Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, a reed in his hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And so prior to going to Calvary, we find that the Roman soldiers, they scourged him. They put together a whip to scourge him and lacerate his back. They mocked him. They ridiculed him. They spit upon him. They made a crown of thorns, made out of thorns from a tree that were about 3-4 inches in length. And they made a crown and crushed it on the top of his head. And they mocked him as the Son of God. And yet he is the very Son of God. You know, the heart of man hasn't changed much, has it, over 2,000 years? There's still an element of mockery and disdain and hatred even for the one that we call our Savior and King. So that still continues on today. But before Christ went to Calvary, he went with bruising and with bleeding and with mockery. We find in this text of scripture that after they mocked him in verse 31, that they took the robe from off of him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And so they led him through the city streets on their way to the place of the skull. The cross that Jesus was bearing was approximately 200 pounds in weight. And here is Christ in this weakened condition, so much so that verse 32 says that they compelled a man by the name of Simon to bear his cross. Jesus couldn't take it. All the way to Calvary. He could not carry his own cross even because of the physical suffering that he had endured at the hands of the Roman soldiers. And so he is taken in that kind of condition on his way to Calvary. And the word Calvary is a Latin translation of a Greek term meaning the skull. It's the word cranium. You know the word your cranium, your brain, your brain function there. And so it's the same word that speaks about our brain. And so it's interesting here that Golgotha, which is the Aramaic word for skull, and Calvary is the Latin word for the skull. And there the environment of that particular location was shaped like a skull. And they made it into a place of death. And even today, the skull is a representation of death. And though so it was in that day, it was a representation of death. And they made it a place of execution where criminals would come, but they were taken to that place in order to suffer at the hands of the Roman government for their violation of Roman law. And so here is Jesus at this place of death, this place of Calvary. And the Bible says in verse 34 of Matthew 27, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And this vinegar was like a narcotic, if you will. It was to dull the pain that he was experiencing and would be experiencing as a result of the crucifixion. And he refused it. He would refuse it. The full wrath of God Almighty was poured out upon the Son of God, so much so that Jesus says, I cannot partake of anything that would dull my pain in order to suffer for every man. He tasted death, Hebrews says, for every one of us. He tasted death for us all in that place of death called Mount Calvary. And so here he is. He tasted the full effect of sin. The full wrath of God was poured out upon him, my friends. And the Bible says in verse 35, and there they crucified him. They crucified him. They parted his garments. They casted lots. They gambled, if you will, in order to receive his garments that he wore. Tattered though they were. And this was a fulfillment of the word of God from Psalm 22, that indeed he would be treated in this way. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And they watched him there. For 6 hours they watched him there. And they watched the Roman soldiers put those spikes through his hands and through his feet. Think with me, friends, of that picture. They're sitting there watching this take place. And some of them stayed for the duration of the 6 hours that Jesus Christ hung upon that cross until he gave up the ghost, until it was finished as he cried from that cross. They put a placard up over his cross that said, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Now, they said that in mockery, didn't they? They said this in unbelief. And they said this as a way to speak ill of Christ and speak ill of the Jewish people, God's chosen people. But God is still looking for today for people to say, this is indeed Jesus. This indeed is Jesus the Christ. This is indeed Jesus the King of the Jews. This is indeed Jesus my King and my Lord. And my sovereign. This place of crucifixion. It was a horrible place. It was a horrible place. My friends, think of the guillotine. Think of a hangman's noose. Think of an electric chair. That's the picture here. That's the picture here. It's a place of great suffering and great agony. And I love what the song says, Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. This was God's ordained plan in order to save people from the consequences of our sin. And when Jesus paid it all, he paid it all. It was paid in full, hallelujah. There's nothing that I have to do except believe, because Jesus paid it all. when the text of Scripture here writes how that they crucified him. In Luke chapter 23, it says in verse 33 that there they crucified him. They crucified him. This man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, they crucified him. And he gave his life for us, that we might be saved from the wrath of God. You know, it got to the place for the Romans, who were the ones that invented this mode of crucifixion. They got to the place where they perfected this way of execution. It was an art form to them. And just think of the mindset that a person has to have to think of ways to maximize pain in someone else's death. They're looking for the way to maximize pain, and the person that and the people that would have to come up with this. And oftentimes when a person was crucified, they would fall unconscious within a short amount of time because of the excruciating pain that takes place. And here Jesus, your Savior and mine, was willing to go through all of this. These 6 hours of pain and suffering, there was sleeplessness, there was hunger, there was dehydration, there certainly was great blood loss, there was infection that would come upon the body as a result of all that was taking place in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a horrible situation. One doctor, when examining the matter of the crucifixion of the Son of God, described it in great detail, telling us what the body would endure going through those times of crucifixion. And often a person crucified, like the criminals that were crucified with Christ, they would hang upon that cross for days in that condition. For days. But thank the Lord, he was there for the 6 hours that was required by his Father in heaven in order to pay for our eternal salvation. But this one doctor, he says that when a person is crucified, the arms become fatigued. There is great waves of cramping that sweep over a person's muscles. There is throbbing pain that never ends. The crucified one cannot push themselves up because of the inability to, they want to push themselves up because they want to breathe, but they struggle to breathe because of the position of a person upon a cross. When a person is crucified, this doctor writes, and he's hanging by his arms, muscles are paralyzed. Other muscles are not even able to respond, though the mind is sending messages to the muscles to respond. Air is there, but it's very slight. And when a person does inhale, they find it exceedingly difficult to exhale. Jesus is certainly fighting for breath while he's being crucified. This doctor says that carbon dioxide will build up in a person's lung, and the bloodstream and the cramps begin to subside at that point. At times, he is able to push himself upward and to exhale in order to bring in that oxygen, which is so desperately needed. There is hourless, my friends, there's hours of limitless pain and cycles of twisting, joint-rending cramps, asphyxiation, pain as tissue is torn from the lacerated back. I'm not trying to be morbid or anything this morning, but folks, it would help us to view Christ anew and afresh, hanging on the cross for your sin and mine. It was a visual presentation in my own life of seeing the Son of God crucified for me that really got a hold of my heart and caused me to think about ministry for my life's goal, my life's vocation. But to think about what Jesus Christ did for me. And this is what he did for you. This is the physical suffering that Jesus Christ paid. The Bible says in Hebrews that he endured the cross, despising the shame. That's how much he loved us. You know, when 1 John tells that we love him because he first loved us, this is what John is thinking about. This is what John has in mind as he pens those words. We love him because of the physical suffering as well as the separation that he experienced from the Father when he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Father cannot look at sin and not be moved. It's a motivation, my friend, as well, not only to come to Christ for salvation, not only to surrender to Christ for service, but also a motivation to come to a place where we surrender more of ourselves to Him. Jesus is dying in our place. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, the scripture says, I just love this passage, and it's a great truth when it says in 2 Corinthians 5, 21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." He truly is the Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, 14, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, friends, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again." The Father wants us to come to the place that we too would see Jesus as the one who died for us, and that we live for him. We, on this Palm Sunday, look at the crucifixion. We see the place of the crucifixion. We see the price that Jesus paid for our crucifixion, or for our eternal life, rather. We see it, and we praise the Lord for it. And what's exciting here, my friends, is that Jesus Christ, as he hung upon that cruel, rugged cross, the Bible says in Luke 23 and verse 34 that as he was hanging there, one of the seven statements that he makes from that cross is he says, "Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And the people today that even mock his life and death and resurrection, even today the people that mock the people of God because of our commitment to him, he longs for them, my friends, to be forgiven. He longs for them to be rescued. He died for them. He died for them. And on that cross, he's pleading for them, "Father, would you forgive them?" What love the Godhead has, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit of God, what love they have that men could be reconciled unto God, that men and women could become children of God and joint heirs of Christ. What love is this? One author, in commenting on what Jesus said on the cross concerning "Father, forgive them," one author says this, that these words, "Father, forgive them," were probably spoken while our Lord was being nailed to the cross, or as soon as the blood of great sacrifice began to flow, the great high priest began to intercede. And that's who he is, isn't he? He's the great high priest. And he shed his own blood in order to satisfy the justice of God, in order to be the propitiation for our sins. And he is pleading with the Father that many would come to believe in his intercessory work upon the cross as he gave himself for us. The prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 53 and verse 12, "Because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." He made intercession for the transgressors. He was the final lamb. He was the final spotless lamb that God required. From the book of Genesis to the time of the Gospels, we read about the fulfillment of God seeking to prepare a way for men to come to Christ. And Jesus pleads that men would come to Christ on this mission of mercy that he is carrying out. And you know, when Jesus Christ prays, that his prayers get answered? When Jesus Christ prays, his prayers get answered. Aren't you glad this morning that Jesus this morning loves us? He loves this church. It belongs to him. He paid the final sacrifice for us, and we belong to him. He belongs to us. And this morning, he's at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. He's praying for you, and he's praying for me. And he takes our petitions and he offers them as a sweet-smelling savor in the nostrils of God before the Father's throne. And when he was on that cross and he was paying the sin debt upon with his sacrifice, and he was interceding, and he said, "Father, forgive them." Do you know within that hour, during the time of the crucifixion, that he says to the thief crucified on his on one side of him. He when the man said, he said to him, he said to him, what did he say to him?
Remember me.
Yeah, thank you. Remember me. Remember me when I come into your kingdom. And he said, thou shalt be with me today in paradise. Wow. Jesus' prayers being answered. Remember what the centurion said at the base of the cross when he looked up into the Savior's bleeding face? He says, surely this was the Son of God. There was a man saved that day at the foot of the cross, down at the cross where my Savior died. There's the centurion came to believe what Jesus Christ did for him. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter got up and preached that day in the market square of Jerusalem, we find what? That 3,000 people responded to the message of the cross. What's happening? Jesus' prayer is being answered. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 7, a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. His prayers are being answered. And you know what? When you believed, and when you believed, and when you believed, and when you believed, Jesus' prayer is being answered. All around the globe this morning, Jesus' prayer for people to come to him in order to receive forgiveness of sin, his prayer is being answered. A great high priest on our behalf, shedding his blood for us, that we might have the gift of eternal life and know what it is to be forgiven by our precious Lord. How wonderful is the grace of God that he will forgive sinful people like us. Surely this demands our all, friends. Surely this demands a life totally yielded to him and dedicated to him and committed to him. Surely it does. Just this last week, I was introduced to a hymn. I never heard it before. It was written back in 1930. It was written by a lady by the name of Sevilla Martin. And Sevilla Martin was married to a Baptist preacher by the name of Walter Martin. And she would travel with her itinerant preacher husband when she could, but she had some health struggles, and so she couldn't always travel with her husband in gospel ministry. But there were times when she would sit down and pen poetry in order to glorify the Lord with her gift of poetry. And she wrote a poem entitled, In the Beloved Accepted I Am. In the Beloved Jesus Accepted I Am. Here's what she writes. In the Beloved Accepted I Am. Nope, I said that wrong. In the Beloved Accepted Am I, risen, ascended, and seated on high, saved from all sin through his infinite grace, with the redeemed ones accorded a place. In the Beloved, how safe my retreat. In the Beloved, accounted complete. Who can condemn me? In him I am free. Savior and keeper forever is he. In the Beloved, I went to the tree. There in his person, by faith I may see. Infinite wrath rolling over his head. Infinite grace, for he died in my stead. The chorus goes, in the Beloved, God's marvelous grace calls me to dwell in his wonderful place. God sees my Savior, and then he sees me in the Beloved, accepted and free. Has Jesus accepted you? If Jesus has accepted you, it's because of the crucifixion. It's because of the cross. It's because of the shedding of his blood. It's because of his intercessory prayer on our behalf. And because of his work on Calvary, and because of your faith in him, fully persuaded that what Christ did on the cross was sufficient for you to be forgiven of your sins, that you then become accepted and you become a child of God. And as she writes here, you're just simply accepted. You're redeemed. God has accorded you a place with him. It's a wonderful place. You are free from sin, the bondage of sin. You are free from Satan's domain. My friends, the great battles of our day that we are seeing all around our world are spiritual in nature. They are spiritual battles. They are spiritual battles. And men are taken captive by the devil at his will. That is what's taking place. It's a spiritual battle. What's the answer? Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. It's not a political party. It's Jesus Christ. Because only he can cause people to become free, and free indeed. Free from Satan and free from sin. And free from their own carnal nature. All that can be forgiven and a new place afforded to people because of Christ's work upon Calvary's cross. Because he died in my stead. He died for you. For God so loved the... Put your name there. For God so loved... Put your name there. If you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, he's waiting for you to come to him. And put your name there. For God so loved the world, he gave his son. This is the final conclusion of how he gave his son. He gave him on Calvary's cross. And because of Jesus, we can have eternal life. And Jesus himself said we can have an abundant life, which is in the Savior. So if you're not saved here this morning, today is the day of salvation. It's today, the appointed time. It's today for you. Come to Christ today. If you are saved, renew your commitment. Renew your love. Renew your zeal for Christ. Let the crucifixion and the picture of crucifixion in your heart and mind motivate you to love him more because of the great sacrifice he paid upon the cross. Would you join me, please, in a word of prayer? Father in heaven, I pray that you would bless your word to our hearts. God, I just pray in some small measure that you would use this message about the crucifixion to bring people to Jesus, to bring us, dear Father, to a place of greater devotion and greater hunger for God. And Father, we need revival in our day. And God, I pray that you'd help us, God, to go out into our world and take the message of Jesus Christ into the world. God, what ails us is a lack of gospel preaching and a lack, dear Father, of gospel presentations. And God, I pray that you'd use us this week to win people to the Lord and get them under the sound of the gospel and get them to the house of the Lord. And God, I just pray that you would defeat the evil one by the blood of the Lamb. And you would do a mighty work, God, in these last days as we wait upon our resurrected Savior to come for us. I pray, O Father, that you'd bless this time. Help folks to make decisions for Christ today. We pray in your name. Amen. Brother Aaron, why don't you be so kind to come?
Could we all stand if we're able to and turn to 290, 290, 290? Thank you.
bow please with me? Father, in our mind's eye, I pray, O God, that you would take us back to Calvary. I pray, O God, that you would humble us and cause us, dear Father, to rejoice and be glad at the love of God. And I pray, dear Father, because of Calvary, would cause us to be a Christ-saturated people. And dear Father, that Christ would have his living power working through us as we go into our world and help Christ to be seen. I pray, Father, that you bless us this Passion Week. Help us to be in the Word. Help us to be in our prayer closets. Help us, dear Father, to be on our mission field. And God, to serve you more emphatically, more in the power of the Spirit, that we might see a mighty hand of God working upon us in these days. And Father, I pray that you would bless today. I pray, Father, that you bless Brother Isaiah as he comes to preach for us tonight. And put your hand upon him. And thank you much, Father, for his desire to hold up Jesus Christ to us. I pray, Father, you bless our afternoon. Give us the rest that we need. But help us to spend our day with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Blessings.